Добрый день. Мы продолжаем.
Hello, and thanks for joining us on our course, the post-coronavirus era. And with us, like always, is Dr. Michael Lightman. Hello, everyone. And today we'd like to talk about the family as a person's closest environment. We have plenty of questions, very important topic related to all of us that concerns all of us. We'll see the family as the foundation that unites, connects people, because it's something that comes from nature. It's not something that man has created artificially. It exists also in the family, in the animal kingdom, and the institution of marriage was not created by man artificially, and in order to have some kind of continuation, there are such animals in which there is both a male and female part that exist together in the same body. And the more developed an animal is, there is a division into male and female parts. And of course, they're opposites, and this is interesting because in order to create something new, to give birth to some new body, for example, there is the unification of these two opposites. And so the question is, if you can explain this principle about the connection between two opposites, why? Because today, and there are different countries that are trying to cancel these differences, these opposites. No, that's impossible. Because the more developed nature is, the more it includes in itself different opposites, and these opposites, they are infinitely distant from one another, and there are different variations and inclinations. We see that if some primitive organism practically exists, where these exist practically in the same body, there are those that can become female or can become male. They can change their gender. Between them, they can come together, divide, and so on freely. So, the further we observe evolution, the more we see how both psychologically and also physiologically these parts move away, differ from one another. And especially according to the sexual gender. And they need one another, and it's not simple. In animals, it practically goes unseen, only rarely. But for man, the need of the correct combination between the male and female parts is necessary in order to continue the generation, in order to give the next generation a normal existence and promise them a normal development. And for many years, for 15, even 20 first years of a person's life, he needs this time in order to get on his feet and in order to be able to take care of himself and continue the generation in his turn. So we see that nature has created all of us, all created beings, in such a way that the more developed we are, the more divisions there are, differences there are between us, and when we become and later on, we're very different in our aspiration for different things, for science, for profession. See how many options a person has of how to develop. And again, it's not only a matter of gender, but the thing is that inside of us, we're all very, very different. So to talk about combining all of this in one body is simply impossible. So it's a natural principle where the combination of two opposite objects, opposite in psychology, physiology, gives the ability, allows the organism to exist more stably. Yeah. Look, even if we are talking about professions, how many new professions appeared in the 20th century, things that didn't exist 100 or 200 years ago? Yeah. You also said that what is the reason for this extended, lengthy process of education, if we look at a family? Then it's the birth of the next generation, it's to satisfy some sexual needs and the education of children. So about a third of our life, we educate children. You don't have that in the animal kingdom. Why? Well, because man is a very complex being that has to be brought up not only to sustain himself, like on the animate level. On the animate level, a person could have maybe sustained, could have cared for himself already at the age of 10, maybe, you know, 10. You don't have that. That's 10 years of age. That's something that you don't have in most animals. So he has to learn how to relate with others like him. It's not just like in some flock or pack where everyone understands how to behave instinctively. But here, there is a different adaptation of man. He has to adapt differently. He has to understand both the inner and psychological, I'd say spiritual state and or the mental state, in order to be correctly balanced with others. So the more society develops, the more time it takes to educate and teach about communication between people. If 10,000 years ago, 5-10 years were enough, then in the future you'll have to educate them their entire life. Of course, why not? We'll learn our entire life and work on ourselves and change ourselves and the world around us. Well, today a child is educated for, you know, 20, 25 years even. The expectancy of life in ancient Egypt was 22 years, more or less, in the past. And today, nature instilled in us a natural love for children. Otherwise, we couldn't build families, we couldn't raise children, because nature knows us, knows our nature, it has created it. And so we were given this instinctive kind of love. Otherwise, who would raise children? And the question is, do you think that this is a role, the role of educating children, is something that some organization can take upon itself or some kind of government? What would be the result in this case? Would it be worse? Well, first of all, we have such examples in history, starting with Sparta in ancient Greece and other institutions in ancient Rome that turned children practically into freaks. And to serve in the army from the age of 10 and 15, where children are coerced, and who knows what's being done to them, and they grow up to be very cruel, very harsh people that can no longer exist or create normal families. They completely lack a sense of the ability to sympathize, identify with others, and without that you can't build a society. So society can't replace what a family gives. Now, we see it today. People that are not brought up in a normal family are not normal people, and no matter how much they try, they can't create a family of their own. We always create our family to some extent similar to the one that we came from. So that instinctive love that nature has instilled in us for our children, we can use it as an example for how to relate to other people. Well, this would have been excellent. This is what the wisdom of Kabbalah calls for, that a person has to relate to everything as to his own family, because the entire world is one family. But we still have a long way to go. So the family cell was created by nature in order for man to get some kind of an example, like the intimate love that's instilled in us, so later on he could continue in life with this example. Well, at first there was a family that lived together, in which several generations lived together, all in one place, all tightly connected between them, several generations. And this way, from the side of nature, this was how it was conceded. Were man not to breach this connection by the constantly growing ego in him, and would have continued with this, and would have made out of this good, nice, convenient family, wouldn't have turned it into something hostile and so on. We see that such examples are already built in us, set in us, like Cain and Abel, even though that they're brothers, they already start this antagonism toward one another. So there could be a completely opposite result in between kin. Well, education and a family would have been stronger if there would have been good relations between spouses. These people completely feel a very deep abyss between them. They aspire for one another only based on their sexual instincts. So do not relate sexual instincts with the desire to multiply a good and pleasant inner loving attitude. These are different things. Why didn't nature create an instinctive love between spouses, like I have an instinctive love for children? This way, the family would have been stronger. Well, this is something that we have to teach. It's created in order for us to create this ourselves. Our love for our children, our instinctive love for our children, is very weak. We have to develop it too. Talk about it, see normal examples. All of this does not exist in a person. All is suppressed by our personal ego. What is your opinion? Who has to educate a person? Work, school, neighborhood. What's the role of each of these? A person's entire education lays in the hands of his parents. So the parents are the main, of course, at any given time. Parents have to care for the education of their children. And there can't be anyone else, no matter how much the government tries and puts supervisors and teachers and whatnot. A person that does not have an instinctive attraction to care for his child, no one can replace him. Yeah, but today in the conditions that we live in, children are at home, barely an hour a day or an hour a day with his parents. You're all the time at school, here, there, playing with friends. This is how we have created our world. So everything that we see today is because parents don't have the time to raise their children. We want it so on purpose. Our ego is built in such a way that it is ready and willing to part with our children as quickly as possible. 15, 20 years go by, and the children know that they have to leave home. The parents are already ready for the children to leave and for them to start doing something in life. And the parents will somehow continue taking care of themselves and living their own life. We're living a by building a society. We already instill in it the future relationships between people, including families. Do you agree that the education of children is necessary for the parents themselves? Because the education itself, when I raise children, I myself grow. Of course. But for this, you have to teach the children, the parents in advance, even before they become parents. And one way or another, it is necessary to accompany them in a very, very tightly, to work with them, work with the parents, different organizations and experts have to work with them, and so on. In different cultures, the relations between the generations are different. There are cultures in which the parents really help their children. There are those that think that the children should develop on their own. What do you think? To what measure should parents help their children? Until what age? Or I think that parents have to help their children all life long, but to the measure to which will not make their children ashamed, allowing themselves to become independent parents in their turn. But still, the care of parents for their children has to accompany the children all life long, just like the children have to take care of their parents. So you think that at some point in life, children are obligated to care for their parents? Of course, no one can replace these relations. You can flood them with money or any other kinds of services. But if the children don't care, nothing can replace that. Yeah, today it's very current. Today, we've done everything in order not to care neither for the children nor for the parents. Next question. There's an interesting paradox. In the family, a child is taught, don't be a sucker, take from the world what you can, what you deserve everything. And on the other hand, society propagates through mass media, schools, that you should be an altruist, you should be kind, help everyone, and so on. So a child gets this kind of dissonance. What do you think? Who's right? I think that neither. You have to take the so-called middle, happy line, golden line. Meaning, necessarily there has to be a certain strictness, rigidness, where it's necessary. And on the other hand, softness where it's necessary. And the golden preferable line has to constantly prevail. Next question. Today, people don't want to feel themselves connected. They want to freely move around the world and fulfill their desires. The development of technology allows you to artificially create children, and therefore there is no need for marriage. Any person can sexually satisfy himself without a family nowadays. The question is it possible that family as the basic connection between people will disappear, or will people have to look for additional values in order to sustain families? The thing is that families, all throughout history, throughout all the generations, was based on necessity. In order to provide, to sustain myself or to be able to provide for myself at old age, I need children that later on, when I'll be old, they'll take care of me when I'm sick until I die. And this is what families were based on. That because you simply can't make it on your own by yourself. And with the appearance of such a technologically developed society like today, we have no need for this. I can provide whatever I need for myself. I have all the options in order not to be needy of anything. And therefore, I'm not worried about having a family. I'm worried about having the ability to buy all those services that I'll need. And this is what we came to in the 20th century. Of course, there's nothing good about it, because one way or another, it cannot replace the good relations between people. But not much is left from those good relations one way or another, since we're engaged in the development of our ego, and therefore the relations between parents and children and so on. We look at all of this from the egoistic point of view. There are homes for the elderly, kindergartens, you name it, just in order to throw all of these worries off ourselves onto someone else. So if previously the basis for creating a family was to meet a person's basic needs in the current or in the future, now that we can already satisfy all of these needs of ours, I don't need others in order to do it, then we have to search for a higher purpose for the creation of a family. And the question is, what is it? What could be such a goal? I don't see it. And therefore, the world doesn't see it either. If you're asking me about my science, the wisdom of Kabbalah, it says that it is necessary in order to become like the upper force, and the need to be in a family, to give birth to children, is dictated to us by the need to become like the Creator. So we need a family in order to become like the Creator? Yeah. Since we are not animals, in that we don't have the same instincts that govern animals, and the different problems in families, gender, this, that, we can regulate it ourselves, and therefore we have to connect ourselves to certain values. And they come from our likeness, our similarity to the upper force. When we talk about the Creator, we're talking about some quality of bestowal that develops all of nature. In order for this quality of bestowal to develop somehow, in order for me to be able to understand where can I implement it, in relation to whom, for this I need a family, I study how to do it on them instinctively, and later on I can do it on other people too. Yeah. So the Creator is the quality of bestowal from which I can learn how to correctly, not only give, but also how much do I have to receive, how much can I give. This is the best thing to learn how to do it is in the family. Yes. And later on, to pass it on to all nations, to all societies. Okay. Now, during the pandemic, there is a rise in domestic violence. Well, obviously, suddenly people started being together for extended periods of time. That's in your talks, on the one hand, you say that we have to live according to the laws of nature. On the other hand, that everyone stopped creating unnecessary things and they can be at home with their family. It's temporary. I don't think that people will be able to hang out with their family at home because actually no one needs it. It's not a preferable way of spending your time. Yeah, I mean, men never sat at home. They went to hunt, did this, that. So this is where this question comes from, that it's not natural to sit at home. And there's no need for it. You simply have to be engaged in things that can help, that are good for society. Whatever is good for society, for nature, for sustaining a homeostasis, this is what we should be engaged in. In your opinion, how should the house chores be divided between the members of the family? Very simple, the man has to help the woman, but the woman has to support the household, so to speak. It's on her, but he has to help her. Interactions in a family. Let's go over this quickly because the purpose of our course is not to look at relationships between a house and wife. How does it work that a person looks at his partner, sees in his partner those qualities that are corrupted in him according to the principle that anyone who blames others does it out of his own flaws? The thing is that we can't accept the other the way we accept ourselves, meaning that by accepting another in my egoistic qualities, we depict them this way through our ego in the form of anyone who sees flaws in others, negates others, does it because of his own ego. Many psychologists say that it is incorrect to demand of your partner to change, that man's qualities do not change. True. Well, they can change. We can even change each other, but only through example. Only through example. Soft examples without pressure, shouting, yelling. It's impossible to do it this way. Only if you show the other a good, soft, and nice example, and he agrees to it naturally and changes. I heard you say that a person's character doesn't change, but the way he uses his character changes. If it's in order to support, preserve the family, then any quality of yours is working in the right direction, even though you can't change it. Now, many times in your talks you say that it is incorrect to consider love as mutual attraction or sympathy. Love has to be based or built upon mutual concessions. Why does it have to stand in the way of developing your emotions toward your partner? Shouldn't stand in the way, but love is not built on sexual attraction. It's necessary, but it's insufficient in and of itself. So, love appears when there exists a certain degree of contact between partners on the mental, spiritual, so to speak, level, where they supplement one another, where there is a gradual closeness, affinity, inner mental, mutual fulfillment, and therefore the sexual relations aren't the key. And 10 short questions for the end of our show. How do you think single-sex marriages can correctly educate children? In no way. A child needs two people that are opposite in their natural qualities. Can a family exist with a robot? No. It's going to be a destroyed family. Is it possible to say that at the foundation of a strong family lay conflicts? Periodically. The internet connection today, does it strengthen the connection in the family? Today's internet, no. In the future, I hope so. In the future, are there going to be virtual families? There can't be a virtual family. A family is that which is within the boundaries of your home. In family life, there is something called expectation. What should you expect of your partner? Mutual understanding. Mutual. You need to choose your partner according to similarity and qualities, or the more different they are, the stronger their connection. They have to be opposites, understanding the oppositeness between them, having the opportunity, the wisdom, the desire to supplement each other in that regard. Should we build families nowadays? It's impossible to be without a family. It has to exist for ourselves, for the sake of raising children. A person who does not grow in a family, it's not a human being, it's half a body, half a man. Is it correct to criticize your partner? Or to relate to it as a doctor and his patient? No, not like a doctor and his patient, but to love, lovingly show him that you expect something different of him, softly, out of love, and then it will affect both them and you. So it's possible to criticize. It's not criticizing. Criticism is where I express my discontent, disregard, I suppress my partner by doing so. But when I show him that I wish to receive something else from him in order to supplement our relations, then it's not criticism. What do you think? Should we speak completely openly with our partner, not leaving secrets, or better have some boundaries and not cross them? I think that there should not be boundaries, borders. Not immediately, of course, but eventually, after the correct interaction between spouses, there should be no secrets, or because they all become one whole. Well, our talk is coming to an end. I'd like to ask. I prepared myself for this talk, and I understand that all of these psychological exercises, counseling, relationship counselors, one way or another, you need the support of the environment, of society that explains to a person about the differences between men and women and how to correctly choose your partner in life. No one teaches you how to do it. If a person will be taught how to do this, as I understand later on, this is something that is very hard to correct, and no psychologist will help. Because there's divorce on a regular basis, it's hard to keep a family together. Well, society receives in return that which it could not give in the education that it has to give the younger generation. Yeah, but, you know, no one taught these things in the past, a few thousands of years ago. No, we've entered such states where our ego is urgently in need of education, reform. Thank you very much. I think we covered all the aspects and principles on this topic, and later we'll discuss this. Yeah, especially its work in circles, true. Thank you very much, and all the best.